Attention, attention, attention. Good morning, everyone. Much love. We have guests coming today. The Soviets will not be coming today, likely. The PARs will be arriving, and also will be arriving John Harris's wife, and also the Duncans. You are not to engage in conversation unless you have been assigned to do so. You can speak to them, but that's exactly what I mean. We will not have anyone complaining. We'll be smiling and talking about the beauties of this place, and we will all be listening attentively for anyone that tries to disrupt the peace. The man has to go back for a while, and we would not want him cut off from life because of some self-centered, gossipy mind. We will reserve the worst fate ever for anyone who violates this rule. You must be positive. You must be complimentary about the food. You must praise the weather. You must praise everything here. Tell how much better in health you've been. If you don't, you lose the protection you have. Only as you claim gratitude by making the affirmation do you keep the health and protection you want. So be sure again that you do not go into conversation. Just say hello very peacefully and lovingly and move on your way. Don't get engaged in long conversations unless you are assigned to these two families. Thank you very much. Now the news. Many claim Paul Robeson was a victim, even from the rather moderate Pittsburgh Courier. They admit this. Was Paul Robeson a political prisoner? The Courier says that question, among many others, have recently surfaced on the heels of comments made by United Nations Ambassador Andrew Young, in which he said there are hundreds of thousands of political prisoners in USA. Robeson, who died in 1978, spent more than 20 years of his life in a forced exile from the United States because he, I'm trying to get it as it comes here, because of his political posture regarding the failure of America to embrace blacks, Indians, and Asians, and even poor working whites. And though this was the premise of the belief, America branded him a socialist, communist, and refused him the right of free citizenship. His passport was taken from him. To the end of his days, Robeson could no longer pursue his fabulous career. He was rated as the greatest singer of all time and one of the world's greatest actors.
Okay, good.
And he was informed by the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, that he could not leave the country or travel outside of his own community, even to such nearby places as villages near his hometown. Later it was expanded that he could go out of state, but not to Mexico or Canada, nor to the West Indies, where a passport was not even needed. A longtime Robeson friend, Lloyd L. Brown, put this shameful injustice against Robeson in perspective during the first years of his political imprisonment. When he wrote in one of his black papers, though he was banished as a performing artist and denied his rights as a citizen, Paul Robeson was never charged with any illegal action. He was never put on trial, but his persecutors
made no bones about why he was being punished. Robeson, they said, was a dangerous red. Robeson, they said, was a dangerous black. And that made him twice as bad as anyone else in the fearful 50s. When communism at home and abroad was said to be a clear and present danger to the American way of life. Brainwashing. As an internationalist with an all-embracing humanism, a humanism that took all men and women in, Robeson truly believed that socialism was the way. In a 1950 speech in the Soviet Union, a few years before America confiscated his passport, Robeson said, "It is my deep conviction that for all mankind, a socialist society represents an advance to a higher stage of life. That is a form of society which is economically, socially, culturally, and ethically superior to a system based upon production for private profit and greed." What Robeson thought of the American way of life has been widely quoted, and that what he said in the cultural philosophy speech caused the establishment of the government to consider him a nemesis. He stated that the modern white America is a member of the lowest form of civilization in the world today. "My problem is not to counteract his prejudice against the Negro. That does not matter. What I have set myself to do is to educate my brother. The Negro is to believe in himself. We are a great race, greater in tradition and culture than the American race. Why should we copy something that is inferior?" But even though white America attempted to make a non-person, an invisible man out of Paul Robeson, a giant of a scholar who spoke and sang in more than 20 languages, there were others of his time who glorified him because of his greatness as an international figure and a world citizen. The late Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, who founded the NAACP and chose to spend his remaining life in Ghana. He died in Ghana at the age of 95 years of age because he said he felt guilty paying tax dollars to such a vicious fascist system as USA is. Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, also a victim of the anti-communist witch hunt, while speaking to a Harlem auditorium in the audience in 1950s, mentioned Robeson's worldwide popularity. "He is without doubt the best known American on earth today. His voice is known in Europe, Asia, and Africa, in the West Indies and South America, and in the islands of the seas, children of the streets of Peking, Moscow, Calcutta, Jakarta, greet him and send him their love. Only in his native land is he without honor and rights." When Robeson's book, Here I Stand, was published in 1958, one of the editorials praising it was written by the Chicago Crusader, Black Paper's late Baum Leval, a staunch fighter for human rights. Leval said, "We have thought all along that the great singer, actor, athlete, lawyer, he was a great football star also, and freedom fighter, was prosecuted because he wouldn't bow down to white folks. Robeson has been one of the mightiest of all black voices raised against world oppression of people because of race, color, nationality, and religion. He is a great champion of the rights of man," Leval said. It's quite a commentary coming from the Pittsburgh Courier, Black Paper, but always rather conservative. Indeed, as you know, Dr. Robeson had to spend most of his life in the Soviet Union because there was no freedom for him. His house was burned down. He was nearly killed many times. They rocked him, pelted him with oranges and rotten fruit. When he attempted to sing, a group of Canadians wanted him to sing. So he got on one side of the border and sang across with a megaphone. And they turned over cars. The racist mobs killed several and almost killed him. So he took his children to with the Soviet Union. They had a wonderful, peaceful life, and the son became a doctor there. Wonderful education. Continuing with the news. There's a great deal of conflict today between China and the Soviet Union. China is accusing Soviet Union is accusing China of interfering with Indian-Soviet relations. This charge is based on one of the cabinet members of the Janto Party, who's anti-Desai, who is the prime minister. He says that there are secret agreements going on between India and China. The Soviet Union said they will not stand by and allow China to have a foothold in the Indian subcontinent, so more tensions come. Two million people died in Kampuchea, in Cambodia, since the takeover of the Khmer Rouge, the nationalists. Hitler called himself National Socialist to trick the people. He used the socialist, but what they really believe is in nationalism. They've done it by putting them out to farms, driving them out of cities, saying, learn how to farm when they didn't know how, and many have been shot in open streets. They now say it is well over a third of the population that has been murdered. The British economy is slightly up. There's been some decrease in inflation and increase in wages. However, the Conservative Party still has the massive lead, and there is accusation that the USA is trying to influence the British elections, that press from the United States, willing arm of the U.S. monopoly capitalists, are trying to help Margaret Thatcher, right-wing conservative head, to be the next prime minister, because she recommends all blacks be removed from, all Asians and all Indians be removed from England. She's a terrible, terrible woman. And the United States is violating the law by intruding in another nation's internal affairs. The first student exchange between China and the USA will take place in a few days. Five Chinese men and one Chinese woman will pay their cost. They will be particularly here to learn languages, cultural patterns of USA, and they're interested, of course, in all kinds of electrical and nuclear engineering. USA is a great big fool. China is taking advantage of them with the doctrine of the three worlds, and they haven't got enough sense to pour piss out of a boot. We shall go on with the news. We have other items that may be of interest to you. Again, remember, as I said, nothing but friendly smiles today. Greet, everyone can greet, embrace, but no one is to take a note, inform them why, when they come, because we were warned by the foreign ministry, this is to be the case. No one's to take a private note, and you will be observed if you do. Don't hold anyone's hand very long. Just pat them and love them, and do not pass any personal notes, because we know that we have been informed that we have a CIA agent. It's a dead agent, I can assure you that. It's a dead agent. Your time's running out. But nonetheless, if you'd like to live a few more days, just behave yourself and do what I tell you. All right.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation aided the Ku Klux Klan on numerous instances to murder black people. Documents recently obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, revealed that it goes back into the 30s and up into the 70s that the FBI knowingly informed Ku Klux Klan agents, who also a Birmingham, Alabama policeman, of the expected arrival time of two Freedom Rider buses. Though the work of Gary Thomas Rao,
okay,
as I stated, through the work of Gary Thomas Rao, the most celebrated of the FBI-linked murders, the chief FBI informant in the Klan in Alabama from 1960 through 1966, the Bureau knew that Sergeant Thomas Cook of the Birmingham Police Department was passing information directly to the Alabama Klan leadership. As a result, police deliberately arrived at the bus terminals late so that Klan members could attack the civil rights workers and kill them without interference. The same kinds of charges have been raised about Klan and police connections in Kansas City, as well as Chicago and various other parts of the Midwest and South. Scientologists who spoke out against the rising fascism that all of our black leaders are saying today, certainly evidenced by Diggs, as he is facing 175 years, framed just because he's the leader of the Black Caucus on African Affairs and spoke out for the right of Africa to be free. They, too, have been speaking out for freedom and speaking out that the government doesn't have a right to tap phones and spy on people and break in to people's houses. All of their ranking members, all their leaders of the Church of Scientology, a religious group which believes that man is basically good, last week were indicted by a federal grand jury for conspiracy, theft of government property, and obstruction of justice. The trumped-up charges stem from a 1977 FBI raid on the Scientology Church in Los Angeles, and not Washington, D.C., in which 134 FBI agents confiscated the records that belonged to the Church of Scientology, not the FBI, 100,000 pages of church documents. Synanon attacked again. They're after all people who try to cooperate, like the Panthers, like Huey, the horrible, horrible article of Huey. You must read that in the library and see the terror in which they asked for the play, the playing of the tape, to see how each of the attacks against groups like ourselves who stand up for black people's rights, the same scenario, same attack, just different names. Synanon is attacked again. In the latest attack on the Synanon Foundation, the California Board of Equalization last week ruled that Synanon's land holding are not exempt from state property taxes. The foundation has been granted tax-exempt status for the past 10 years due to its successful work with drug addicts, alcoholics, delinquents, and the mentally disturbed. Those who have just been with us, Dr. Carlton Goodlett said that he wanted to retire here because it's certain that there's going to be genocide, murder of all people of color in USA. So did Dr. Mark Lane, eminent author of Rush to Judgment and all the other books that he wrote. I don't know how many he did write. He wrote Zorro and then the other doctor that's been with us, Dr. Freed this week, Don Freed. He wrote Inquest and Who Killed Robert F. Kennedy. They all agree there's going to be genocide. That means murder for all minorities because of the increasing unemployment, no jobs for them, and black people are going to refuse to go to fight the wars, and so that will be the way they'll be killed. Someone was questioning them around the table while we were dining one night. Said, well, you would think that the U.S. would be grateful for us taking so many kids out of crime that would cost the taxpayers millions of dollars. Said, no, they're not grateful. They want the muggers. They want the drug pushers. They want drugs to be circulated so they'll have reason to jail and incarcerate and destroy black people. They know that drugs rot away the brains of our youth, Indian and black. And I thought all three of them, Dr. Goodlett and Dr. Lane, and Dr. Freed made a very good point. In spite of charges from countercharges that Taylor said about Huey P. Newton not beating him up, the court refuses to accept it, and the district attorney is going ahead with charges against him. Even though he appeared in a press conference, the black Taylor appeared with warm handshake with Huey P. Newton. He said, he did not beat me up. Please use pressure and force and torture in Oakland to extract the conviction, the confession from him. That's a good way America works, or her schemes are very, very known. As we saw yesterday, firing into 4,000 people in Philadelphia, arresting 39 people because they innocently passing black people, just because they looked up seeing police beating on women and children in a religious center, and when they just looked at it and didn't move fast enough down the street, they were arrested themselves. That's USA. USA, and that's why we should be grateful that we have this place. Every scientist in the world said that a nuclear war is coming very soon. USSR has said they will not tolerate the U.S. base that's being planned, air base, nuclear base in the Sinai. The Arabs have said they're going to withdraw their support. Europe is now, even today, Belgium is calling for a European dollar because they say the dollar, U.S. dollar, is worthless. We're headed for a great depression. We're headed for nuclear hell. Every scientist, 98% of them say so, at least. With all the near accidents that have happened, you remember all that I've given? Ask your neighbor. We've documented accidents that have almost caused nuclear war already. But tensions and U.S.'s demand to hold on to Africa and deprive her of her liberty. Africa, our brothers and sisters are still in slavery, working for 16 cents a day. The husband and wife cannot see each other only once a year because the wife has to work in the city and the husband cannot work in the city and live in a white neighborhood. So the black woman has to be the nanny for the whites, and she doesn't see her children or her husband for 1 year at a time while they live in the concentration camps. Oh yes, there's not much future. And particularly with China building underground shelters, China says there'll be nuclear war within a year. The Soviet Union has similar feelings. So does Sweden, that's not communist. They have built underground shelters for their people. Only USA does not build underground shelters for their people because all they're concerned about property. As the Air Force has built what they call the neutron bomb, and they jokingly refer to it as the nigger bomb because it could be dropped in a place in the Fillmore and judged within just a few square inches of where they wanted it to have its devastating effect and kill every living thing in that area, and not a piece of paper would be scorched so the capitalists could come and pick up all the property. That's why they now have placed it, as the United Nations have charged, the U.S. have placed the neutron bomb in Rhodesia, which is Zimbabwe, where Robert Mugabe, Marxist, Leninist, and Joshua Nkoma, Republican Nationalist, are the true leaders and have 97% of the people behind them. But they're being bombed every day by our tax dollars. We should feel such guilt that we buy food, or paid taxes, everything we buy or sell in USA, we have to pay taxes, and those taxes go to bombs. No socialist makes bombs that destroy people. There's not a socialist nation that thought up a neutron bomb to destroy all living things, or a napalm bomb to cause the skin of little children just to slide off, just to come falling off of their body like jelly. No, it takes a capitalist, barbarous nation to think of such evil. We must continue in our struggle. There are so many who want to come here. We've got a lot of work to do, and with the conspiracy in the U.S. trying so much, now fortunately some people are coming forward, some powerful figures, and fighting back. But the Congress, I mean not the Congress, but the Customs, the one department that they use for their fascist intrigue anymore, because you can get no freedom of information from the customs agencies. You can get it from the FBI when they feel like sending it to you, and the CIA, but nothing from customs. And we on one occasion had 94 crates of important medical things and televisions and things, vital equipments broken up, but still we are here. And we've succeeded, and we're living in a beautiful place of fresh air, clean, clean, wholesome air. No foods with any chemicals added to them. All kinds of delicious fruits and meats, and if we had to, wildlife out there in galore. Wild pig, wild beef cattle, and huge amounts of fish. So while USA is wondering in the news, we read you yesterday, how they're going to feed themselves because their supplies are running out. We have not had to suffer in that way. We have the only place to, according to the anthropologist, Margaret Mead, this is the only safe place where there's no radiation at all that nuclear war will not affect. Nuclear war is bound to come. Some of you need to talk to your neighbors and you'll see some of those statistics that prove that it's bound to come. You remember once the young man in the submarine. Each month they go through a test of whether they're going to send their 16 Polaris submarine atomic missiles to Soviet cities. And they thought this was just another test, and they all went through their routine. The last thing that means the bombs go is that the commander turned the key. For some reason, the assistant commander looked at his commander. He saw that he was turning the key. He hit him with a wrench just in time. He resigned his commission 2 years short of retirement and came to South America, because he saw that somebody crazy is going to do this sooner or later. Or like the accident of the nuclear reactor in Kansas just a few days ago, and in Arkansas that killed 53 just a couple of years ago. All over the world they're happening. You cannot have this kind of heavy technology in the hands of human beings who have not evolved enough to overcome prejudice against people of different color, or race, or religion. Shootings, arrests, hit blacks throughout the South and the Midwest. In northern Mississippi, even up to Indiana, August is a time of summer harvesting. This year there was a bumper crop of homegrown white racism. An open confrontation grows between whites and blacks. The following incidents took place within a two-week period in five different counties, from Indiana to Mississippi. Klansmen fired upon six blacks, shooting 16 bullets into their car. A two-day curfew followed. 15 civil rights activists are arrested for standing on the street corners in groups of three and four. The laws are now making it possible. They call you a mob if you stand together. Black activists announced they are expanding a six-month boycott of local businesses and making plans for a national rally in September. Three cops attended a Ku Klux Klan rally and publicly identified themselves as members of the white supremacist organization. Some 25 black people are missing, thought to be killed by these rogue murderers, the Ku Klux Klan, which now has a chapter in every U.S. city, as well as the Nazis have also a chapter in every city. You should look at that film again and again that we got from our commissioner friend, the socialist, who's in charge of the Canadian embassy, and see how they did it in Germany. And then you'll know they would do it to us when there's no way to give employment and the U.S. dollar's in a terrible position. Against the yen, fell against the Swiss franc yesterday, you would realize without an absolute doubt that there will be concentration camps and gas chambers, if not nuclear war. The new tax rebellion across the nation, led by Garvis Gann, has gained momentum. Thousands and thousands gathered to hear him speak from north, south, east, and west. He said, "We're tired of supporting the niggers. We're tired of supporting the poor folk, the poor hillbillies that won't work. We're tired of all these foreigners." And he said, "Let's get the niggers out. We won't let any nigger take our rights, our taxes." And so he is gaining momentum, and it is the feeling of most pollsters that the United States Congress will be passing a terrible tax cut, but it will not go to the poor. You will have to make at least $20,000 a year to get one dime of results. Wake up, my friend. Wake up, my friend. Pickett murdered at Safeway walkout in California. One picket has been killed and another seriously wounded, but some 350, 3,500 Teamster strikers at